Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today on this fair episode is the one and only, the lovely, the glorious, the beautiful Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing just great.
Connor,
Doing just great. I'm so glad that you made that little Sheena voice. Before we dive into our Valley recap, I'm sure it'll be a doozy. You, Ronnie, are going up to San Francisco in about a week and a half to go on a cruise, right, with Hannah, our lovely and wonderful Hannah Ferrier, and Daisy from Below Deck. And is there anyone else that's gonna be on that? It's just the two of them, right?
The two of them. I'm gonna interview them, do a little panel with them on a dinner cruise for City Cruises, August 23rd in San Francisco. You can get ticket links at their links and bios, either Daisy Kelleher or Hannah Ferrier. Okay, it's gonna be so fun. It's like a dinner cruise.
Fabulous.
We cruise around. We laugh. We spill some tea. It's a girl set.
Yeah.
And you're going to do a thing as well. You're doing a panel the same day. It's a double panel day.
Double panel day. While Ronnie's up in the Bay Area on a boat, I will be here in LA at the esteemed Friends and Family Bakery, coffee shop, bakery, etc., because I'm going to be in conversation with Martin Sorge, who has a new cookbook out called Great Bakes. And so the wonderful, wonderful, amazing cookbook shop Now Serving here in Los Angeles, it's called the shop's called Now Serving, puts on these talks where they will invite a cookbook author and then someone to kind of interview them. And so I was invited to do this and I'm so excited. So come join us at Friends and Family the same night, Sunday, August 23rd. It's at 5 p.m. and go to Now Serving's Instagram, Now Serving LA. I forget their handle, but just look up Now Serving and you can get your tickets for that. So really excited about that. And also, thank you to the one and only esteemed Madeline Brand for having me on her show, Press Play with Madeline Brand on NPR. It finally happened. Broke through into NPR. Watch What Crappens made it onto NPR, everyone.
And that's the half that belongs on NPR.
Well, NPR, you know, is,
for me, it's like, no, please, Ronnie, no, 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 please, Ronnie, no, no, no.
I'll just, and anytime you're out of pocket, I'll be like NPR. But yeah, no. Local radio station KCRW here in LA has a show about the entertainment industry called Press Play. And so I was on there to talk about The Real Housewives. So you can actually listen to that interview by going to KCRW.com. So that's all the fun stuff. And of course our Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. But so cool things to either listen to or go to for all of you guys.
Well, there you go. Okay, let's get into it. It's The Valley, Season 3, Episode 20, Reunion Part 2. Ooh! To celebrate Reunion Part 2 of The Valley, I'm wearing a rayon shirt.
Oh.
So there you go. Decided to kind of match the cast today as much as possible. And let me just say, it hurts.
Okay. It hurts. That's fair. Here, wait. To celebrate Episode 2 of The Valley, let me try to make myself more in Danny's likeness. Let me just adjust this camera. And okay, now celebrating Danny.
That's so rude.
Celebrating Danny on The Valley. Sorry.
He has been bullied and he has cried.
How dare
it's
you?
Not his. Sorry. For those How who are really you? Listening, this is a visual moment that's happening.
How dare you make fun of my height?
Well, I love all my back short down to regular height out there.
I know. I actually love my short
things. Well, not
things.
That
I just, one. It's just, I think with Danny, he's so frustrating that I resort to doing the most immature thing, which is just to hit him where it hurts, because that's my only recourse. And I'm not proud of that instinct. I try not to make fun of people's physical appearances.
Well, it does change. Hurt. And I'm a father. A father with children. I have cried. I've shed a tear.
But if Danny, Danny shouldn't be listening to this, so that's fine.
Yeah, this is not for you. So backstage, you know, they're on their first break. They're in Brittany Jason's room. And before we even get started with this, before I say this person's wrong or that person's wrong, I literally don't like anybody. Zach. I like Zach. Jasmine's fine, I guess. Everyone else can go fuck themselves. So before you think, wow, you're really sticking up for so-and-so by going against so-and-so, don't even play that bullshit with me today. All these people are monsters, and they're boring monsters in rayon. And that's it. And that's what you're getting. That's what you're getting today. So don't start your, wow, you're being so nice to so-and-so because you don't like janitor. Whatever. Yeah. No, I'm not standing up for literally anybody on this show. Not a one.
You know, now I can never, anytime I say anything nice about Janet, I get messages being like, I hope that coffee cake she made you was good, because ever since the coffee cake, you're all pro Janet.
Well, to her credit, she does know how to get you. A coffee cake is the way to your heart.
Yeah, by the way, I'm easily bribed. I invite anyone who I talk shit about to make me a lovely cake. And I, listen, my affections are for sale. Just kidding. I am not. I stay true to myself regardless. Regardless of coffee cake that comes my way. But it was really good coffee cake.
I'm true to me. And me loved Janet's coffee cake. And that's it. That's the end.
We're backstage, and Jason is saying that Janet's gonna have some probably the easiest luck with making amends with Zach, but everyone else is gonna be hard to get through. I'm like, but why do you want to get through to anyone else? Why do you want to make amends with Danny and Nia? Maybe I can see Nia, because at like girls' events, it's awkward if there's someone who hates you, right? But like,
yeah.
Who cares about Danny?
Well, that's kind of where I am with the whole cast. And I've said it a million times during the season. Like, you just don't like each other. And that's okay. But these shows are built on kind of friend groups. So they need to pick a side or whatever and rebuild. Because it's just, they're just all gross. And none of them can truly make up because they just hate each other's guts. So they can come with all the flowery language they want. And like, I really understand about your feelings about this, and I'm sorry. But none of them mean it. Danny can't give one solid apology the whole time. It does always revert to, but I have kids, and Jasmine was right. I don't care what anybody
says.
And all the parents are like, you can't say that when you don't have a child. Yes, she didn't say it very well, but you guys use your kids as human shields. Every time you do something wrong, you hold up a baby in front of you. No, having a baby doesn't mean you're not a shitty person. And that's it. And that's what she was trying to say. And I completely agree with her. And we got a lot of it this episode. Every time someone is called out, it's like, but I have a baby.
Yeah, I think Jasmine was 100% right. I 100% also am aware that having kids is enormously taxing. It drains you and exhausts you. But guess what? I know a lot of people who have kids. A lot of people who have kids who do not act the way that Danny acts and do not act the way that Luke acts. Okay. And so, like, I'm sorry, I know it's a stressor, but the stressor is only bringing out parts of your personality that are already there. And that's the issue. Okay.
Right.
So, like, I'm sympathetic to being like to grumpiness, but like, the thing is that the way that Danny acted was not like on that trip was not like one evening. It was like the whole trip he was like that. And then he was like that again elsewhere. It's like this is not an isolated like I'm in a mood. This is a you are unmasked moment.
Yeah, and I get that it's hard, and I'm not taking that away and saying, shut up, parents. Stop bitching. I'm not saying that. But that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about men who are called out for basically being emotionally abusive assholes. I mean, Danny has been clearly emotionally abusive on this whole season. And he's like, but I have kids. If your response to stress is treating your wife like garbage, then you're garbage, period. It doesn't matter what's going on. I mean, it's super important that you know how to treat your family and your friends in a way that's not abusive, even when you're not in a good mood. Dumb.
Yeah. I mean, quite frankly, Janet, Lala, and Brittany all have kids too. they all have like little kids. Lala has two little kids. Brittany has a child with special needs, and she has a child who she's divorced from, who's making her life hell. You know, it's there are a lot of people on the stage who have the pressures of children. And again, it's not we're not dismissing it. It's just like these guys are just really leaning into it. And in their mind, they're saying, I'm just explaining why I was like that. But it's like, no, you were like this before these kids came around. The kids have just exacerbated it for you.
Yeah. Your baby coming out of your dick doesn't give you the right to be a dick. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Now that we've got that cleared up, let's get into a bunch of whiny baby men making excuses because they're tired. Brittany's like, oh, there's going to be a lot to talk about today. I can tell you that. There's a lot more coming down this pike. And Michelle's like, well, I am mad at Lazy. She keeps calling me a liar and saying I am vague. I am not vague. I do not know what Lazy I'm going to get. Like, what Jesse am I going to get? And Lala's just looking at her like, I'm on your side, but I'm really bored.
Yeah.
So let's like wrap this up.
That was last episode's. So we're going to have to sunset this discussion. So everyone comes back on stage and Andy is like, oh, we're back. Well, before Michelle was linked to Aaron or Dr. Dre, she was famously married to our very own Jesse Lally. This season, we finally reached the end of Jesse and Michelle's divorce, which felt like it was dragging on like certain someone's droopy drawers. So, Michelle, you and Jesse are finally divorced. How does it feel?
Jesse's like droopy. Can she answer her question, spray tan?
I think he was responding to his.
I know, but it's not you. It's not you. You'd be quiet. It's not even your turn. So Michelle's like, it is incredible, Duze. I am visually zingle like. And so he asks Jesse how things have been with Michelle. And he's like, well, we only really communicate about Isabella, and that's been good, I guess. It's like 90%. And he's like,
okay, cool. Well,
still 10% not cool.
I know. He's just absolutely aghast at everything Michelle says. Hey, Jesse, what did you use the $300,000 SBA loan for? He's like, I love the fact that in season two, there was a Runyon Canyon hike with Sheena to complain about me. And then season three, another little Runyon Canyon hike with somebody who doesn't hike. I'm like, sir, this is not answering the question. And who cares? He's like, I mean, if she had gone on a hike with someone who does hike, that's one thing. But to go on a hike with someone who doesn't hike, it's
if you're going to talk shit about me, at least do it with someone who hikes naturally.
I was like, what is this stall tactic? So he's like, the entire conversation, start to finish, was a lie. Mm. And Michelle's like, yeah, he is just really embarrassed by it. It was one of those things from the beginning. It's like, do I look embarrassed? I'm like, quite frankly, you do. you look literally embarrassed.
And you look shamed. But yeah, I don't know if he has enough good in him to even feel shame at this point. But you look embarrassing. True. And so she's like, well, he did not want to talk about it. And he's like, well, you're a cheater and a liar. So, okay, so did you get the $300,000 loan and spend it all on a fucking vacation or not, Jesse? Like, you're looking more guilty than ever when you say things like,
but you're mean. You have black hair and it's really straight. So
Lala's like, hello, you have to stop calling her a liar, Jesse. Like, you call her a liar a lot. You've got to stop doing that. Lala is acting like she is Lisa Vanderpump sitting next to Andy during the Vanderpump Rules reunions. the entire hour, she keeps jumping in to be like, Andy, like, I'll take this.
Could this could all be solved with a chandelier from Nicolaine.
Yeah, she really is trying to take over this whole reunion, and it's obnoxious. Like, Lala, you didn't do shit. I mean, what Lala did this season was yell at other people in their other drama that she wasn't really involved in. And I'll give her this. She was correct about, and in this reunion, I feel like she's correct about everything she says. So it's not that I'm not on her team with what she's saying. It's just like, it just feels like it's none of your business and you're not involved in any of this. And she keeps in every single conversation, she's like, oh, yes. Well, let me tell you. It's like, girl, you don't even do anything on this show.
Well, what I just don't like is that she keeps, I'm with you. I actually, everything she said, I'm like, absolutely. And in some ways, I'm glad when she pipes up, because sometimes someone needs to pipe up about this. But like, what I hate is on a reunion when someone's trying to like state their case, even if it's full of bullshit. I hate when they get interrupted and then the argument becomes about being interrupted. Like, let me finish. You're not letting me finish. This is what she always does. This is what you always do. It's like that time in Mexico when you did this. I didn't do this. And then you like lose the thread. So I just don't like the constant interruptions for that.
And it's bad in this one with Lala. Lala's the main offender, but Michelle is a very close second. Michelle's really not making herself look good in this. Like, Michelle, you've got you're against Jesse. Jesse's a piece of shit. This should be this should be a slam dunk with everything that Jesse's done. But she just cannot stop herself. And every time Lacey tries to talk, she's like, "I'm bad." And Lacey does that thing where she stays infuriatingly calm through every single thing. And it's like, well, if you feel that way, then you're allowed to feel that way. And that's fine. I'm not finished. I'm not finished, though.
Yeah.
And so then finally, when she does get to talk, it's like 30 minutes of her just trying to string words together. And this part, I did love Lala, because she interrupts her. She's like, stop interrupting me. She's like, it's been 3 hours. Finish a sentence, please.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Jesse is denying that he took out a loan. And Michelle's like, it's a lie. Please show me. Please, for the love of God, show everybody where the $300,000 is. Which, by the way, you know that he's what he's thinking is, well, that's a lie. It wasn't an SBA loan. It was a this loan instead, right? You know that he's just saying it's a lie based off of some semantics. I guarantee there's a $300,000 loan out there, because why would Michelle be willingly just paying $300,000 to Jesse as part of their divorce settlement just for the fun of it?
Yeah, they talked about it on screen where she was going to pay that $150,000 just to get out of it. Didn't she talk about that with him?
Yeah,
on
she
screen?
Was like, yeah, they were in that like that pink coffee shop, and she's like, I am willing to pay this. I am paying you to end this. And he didn't say like, what are you talking about? Stop lying to America, making it seem like I'm poor.
Yeah. So he's clearly lying, but she's also terrible with evidence, because if there's a $300,000 loan that you had to pay back, there's paperwork. Where's the paperwork at? You have to have that in an email somewhere. Bring the evidence. This is court.
Come on. You're on a reunion. So Andy's like, well,
put
you
it
also
on a prop, you know, glue it to a spinning wheel or something where you can be like, oh, yeah, look at this spinning wheel. It's going to stop on. He did it. Guilty. Here's the bank loan or whatever it is. Do something.
Wheel of Fortune. Bankrupt. All the slices say bankrupt. Andy is like, well, she also said that you couldn't afford to pay $200 for Isabella's health insurance. So Lacey goes, awkward. Don't call me a liar about that.
Do not call me a liar about that.
She's like, I just said awkward. That's it.
Oh, I thought you said liar. Sorry.
Okay. Michelle was just on Watch What Happens Live and really intimated that she was paying most of the household expenses. Lacey cared to answer for that.
But I don't believe that, because she's also saying, which I find to be infuriating, you're also insinuating every single episode except for two, because I finally watched them, that I'm paying for him. And I would rather light myself on fire than pay for a man. That's not my vibe. So, like, that's fine for you to pay for a man because you did that, but you're lying about that.
I'm not saying that Lacey is a Targaryen, but the fact that she has now offered up that she would light herself on fire, I'm like, she's kind of a Targaryen. Let's be honest.
She's a prestige-free Targaryen. Like, there's no prestige night for her to be on TV.
A prestige free Targaryen.
Because that's like prestige TV. So I wouldn't give her that much. But I mean, there are things adding up.
Yeah. So Michelle is like, by the way, I have the text where you're like, I can't pay this month. Give me your credit card information. And I gave it to you right then and there. And I have all the text messages. That's why we have Ballet that emails us all the time that your card got declined. It's a very sad ballet. It's called they tried to do the Nutcracker, but it's more like the Jesse Cracker because they have to crack your balls to get paid, if you know what I'm saying. Anyone like this ballet content I'm throwing at here? Anyone? Any laughter, please, would I appreciate it.
We will be doing the Daddy's Broger ballet. But she's like, yes, we do not have money for gymnastics or ballet or space camp. Or
we want to put her on
a lot of things.
Child sommelier path, and we cannot afford those classes anymore.
We had to pull her out of Suzuki class. How is she supposed to play violin by ear, Jesse? How?
Well, I guess that means no more breath work for Isabella.
I guess the trapeze arts are off the table.
I suppose there will be no more Wednesday night sound baths for Isabella.
Isabella was supposed to be doing first grade abroad, but she is not now because of Jesse. It's like, damn, you should have just stuck with the child insurance part, you know, because that's like, holy crap, Jesse, you're not even paying for your child's insurance. But she's like, and then we had to ask for an extension payment on the whores.
Unfortunately, Maria Callas impersonation camp is off the books for this summer.
Auntie's like, yeah, your card even got declined on camera in Mexico. That was hilarious. And he's like, yeah, guess what, guys? I've never had a chase fraud alert, you know, when I was in another country. Forgive me for not knowing. Babe, didn't you spend the $300,000 traveling all over Europe with your family? Yeah.
I think he's being facetious here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he's being facetious. Like, guys, this happened.
Or to be facetious. I'm sorry.
I know. It was not good facetiousism. It was not good plantar facetiousitis.
But be a better fascist.
Yeah, I think he was trying to.
Fascist.
And he failed. And so Lacey's like, my card gets declined all the time, and allegedly I'm a baller. So look, I'm like, wow, this is the first time people are bragging about being poor on Bravo.
Michelle's like, I am not making it up. Are you financially solvent now? He's like, oh yeah. I moved to a new house, and sadly, just had a $30 million deal that kind of fell through. She's like, oh, it is always falling through. It always falls apart. That is how deals go with Jesse.
Well, I'm still doing what I've always been doing. Okay, Lacey, how do you feel about dating Jesse if he's not doing well financially? Because
She does not care.
I've never experienced that. It's hard for me because it just feels so intentional.
It is not intentional. It is not. And I mean, there are moments where he's cried to me that he could not pay for certain things. And I said, get a tissue. And he said, I cannot afford tissue. Okay, I said, Maria Callas, hand him a tissue. And Isabella said, tissue.
I couldn't imagine how much better that impersonation would have been if she could have gone to that camp. So Lacey's like,
she went to Maria Gallas camp and did not finish. And now she sounds like Bruce Valange.
Unfortunately, we had to send her to Marie Callender camp instead.
But she couldn't afford a buy.
She just came back with whipped cream. So... So Lacey is like, She's like, I'm just explaining what my experience is with Jesse.
Okay, well, my experience is he tells me the truth because I know it.
Okay, but okay. I'm just telling you my experience, and you can BS me and say I'm crazy all you want to, but I know my experience, so you're not going to talk me out of it.
Oh, my God, Lacey. Someone needs to work with Lacey on inflection and brevity.
I know my experience as well. Well, that's lovely for you. I've never experienced that with him. He asked me for money, and it's very frustrating to have a group of women continuously saying that somebody is using me for money for an array of reasons. First and foremost, I do think it's completely misogynistic. I think if I was a man, no one would ever make that assumption, and I think it's rude. And Andy's like, but I think what's actually funny here is that it would have been one thing if, well, I guess I see the point she's trying to make here, that like, hey, when like a girl is with some guy, people aren't like, oh, she's using him for money, which by the way, like, they often do. But the truth is that like,
they Jesse always is, do.
Jesse is poor. He has no money left, and he's with a wealthy lady in Orange County. And I do believe that he likes her, but we also believe that what drew him to her and had him go very committed to her was because she is paying for things. And I don't think that's misogynistic. I think it's
well, he spent
Jessie-nistic.
An episode being like, I'm going to move into your house, right? Like, you've got a big enough house. You've got a huge mansion in Orange County. It's like, I mean, no, you are never moving into my house. So we've seen him trying to kind of worm his way in there. It's not like this is coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, and you know, I love calling out what I feel like is misogyny, which of course is a man's role. And I think that like, I normally love to yes and these moments, but this time I was like, this one even feels a stretch, even for me. And Lacey then is like, but one of the columns of her pillars of her argument is she says, well, last year Aaron filmed and that was her boyfriend. And you know, Lala's like, can we clarify? Because like, I don't understand what's going on here right now. She's like, I'm trying to clarify, but you're interrupting me.
We can clarify, but you're interrupting me, though.
So she's like, yeah, but you've been talking all day long
but
and
you're
interrupting
me.
I mean, you've been a jabberjosk.
But that's misogynistic. Also, this misogynistic thing, I think, is weird because she's saying, I think it's completely misogynistic. If I was a man, no one would ever make that assumption. If you were a man, everybody would make that assumption. Like, I don't, it's weird. Her logic just isn't making sense. When there's one really rich person and there's one not rich person, and especially when the not rich person has a terrible, terrible reputation, like there's not much going for that. They're, of course, they're going to say the poorer person is using the richer person. It happens in every relationship, and it's every relationship like that. I don't know of one that's not like that.
She then revises it to where it makes a bit more sense, where she's basically saying people think I'm paying for Jesse so that way I can be on the show. Like, I'm paying my way to be on this show. And it's like, okay. I mean, I actually don't think anyone said that or felt that way about her.
No, but maybe people do feel like she's using Jesse to be on the show. Maybe not that she's paying for it, but her being like, oh, suggesting that I'm paying to be on this show is terrible because that's insinuating that I'm not good enough to be on this show. Ma'am, you're not really. And you're only on this show because you're dating Jesse. Why are we pretending that you were cast because of your sparkling personality? You didn't make it on Orange County 3 times.
Yes.
And now you found somebody to date that's on a show. There's actually no shame in it. And a lot of people on this stage got to the stage that way. Kristen got James on. He's not on this show, but James got on via Kristen. Then we've got Janet, who got on. Janet and Zach by hanging on to the group and being around the group.
Brittany is only here because she was actually in Lacey's place at one point. So,
So there's not even that much shame in the game, but to pretend like, oh, everyone's acting like I'm not valid on my own. You're not. You're here because you have mess and you're going to trigger Michelle. It's not like you did an audition song. You didn't give 30 bars to get here or 32 bars to get in here. Come on.
Watch What Crappens is here to remind people that sometimes you are not valid on your own, and that's okay.
Exactly. I would never walk into a bank and be like, oh my God, it's like, you're like taking my deposit, or like you denying my deposit. It's like you're acting like I'm not valid. They're like, sir, you don't have an account here. You're like literally not valid.
But and so like one of the things that she's trying to get to here is the fact that like, well, when Aaron came on the show, she goes, you know, Aaron filmed the show. And, you know, I think it's crazy. Not one person on the stage, at least from what I saw, was like, he must be using her. She must be using him. I'm like, what part about this bug-eyed, probably failed actor trying to sell honey on the internet says he's not using Michelle Lolly to be on camera?
Yeah.
Literally, we all pretty much thought that.
Who watched the show said this guy is clearly using Michelle to sell his coke honey on TV.
Also,
they weren't saying that about Michelle to her face in the cast because they're friends with Michelle. They like Michelle. They don't know you. And Jesse's an asshole. So you're not going to automatically get the same level of friendship of a bunch of people who aren't your friends.
Yeah.
And I don't even hate Lacey. I actually like Lacey. I just think her argument here is a little yikes. But then Michelle's also being so obnoxious in this argument because she won't stop jumping on every little thing. Lacey gets out two words and Michelle jumps in and is just giving her those laser eyes the whole time. So she kind of sucks too. I genuinely like Lacey on the show and I think she's been okay, but oof, she's wrong on this one.
Yeah, I think Lacey has been a big surprise. I think she's actually, as much as we've been like, you're not valid on your own to be here. But that being said, now that she's here, she has been entertaining. More entertaining than I thought she would be, and I'm happy for her to be on the show going forward. I don't know. I didn't actually have as much of a negative experience as you did to her on this reunion. I just am more like at this point I was like over it. I didn't want to talk about this anymore. Like I didn't. I thought, guess what? I'm gonna make you.
And it's just because I want to say.
I should say, it wasn't like I didn't want to watch this anymore.
I didn't come out of this a Lacey hater. Just this whole like, what am I not? Am I not good enough? You guys are suggesting I'm not good enough to be here on my own. It just sounds crazy. Like you need to stop being a victim. You are dating Jesse Lolly, who had a horrible divorce with Michelle. We know that she paid the $300,000 or half of that to get out of the divorce. At the minimum, we know all that stuff is true. And you're still supporting this guy, whether it's financially or not. You're standing by and acting like a lot of these behaviors are okay. And so you're wrong. Like, what do you want me to say?
Mm-hmm. And basically, so then she has another little spat with Lala, who's like, you've been talking for like 12 hours. So Andy's like, okay. Lacey, do you love Jesse? She goes, I love Jesse. It's just like our dynamic and that's how I treat men, and I like that about me, and that's me. Because there people are saying, we don't know where you stand because it seems like you guys hate each other. And so Andy goes, Jesse, tell her you love her right now. I want to see how she responds, okay? She's like, oh. I love you. She's like,
I love you too. Oh. It's just like so performative though. Like usually I'd just be like, thank you. Do it again. I'll do it better. I'm valid.
That was funny, though, when they're like, it seems like you really hate Jesse. She's like, that's how I am with men. That's my love language.
Schwartz, wow, why are you here? Yeah, we got to meet your TikTok girlfriend, Kiana, with the sunglasses at the tip of her nose. Wow, I'm imagining things are going well with her. That's going to work. Wow, was she 20 years younger than you and on TikTok? Great, how's that? He's like, I'm just so happy. I'm like, you know, it's like our 9-month anniversary, man. It's like, I've just, wow. Like, lucky. Wow.
Well, great. Yes. I'm glad to hear that you have as many fascinating things to say today as you've had all season. Ah, so what are the chances that we'll see you getting married again? Please say zero, because I can't believe it if the producers bring you back.
He's like, oh, well, that's on her. I would love to get on the knee one more time. And if I ever do, it would definitely be for her. God, have you ever seen her sunglasses when you're down on one knee? They look more magnificent than you could ever imagine.
So Jesse goes, well, I've hung out with you guys and you bend the knee a lot.
Get it, guys?
He's like, yeah, well, I've got it so bad, you know, and I want kids, but I don't know if she wants them with me. But, you know, we have a great communication. Like, we're aligned with what we want, you know, except for the fact that, like, I want kids and I don't know if she wants kids, or like, I want to get married. I don't know if she wants to get married. I don't know. I've called her. She hasn't really called me back, but I'll tell you this much. Our communication is great.
And
how old are you again? It's like, I'm 43. And what is this spread? 16. Okay, well, I'm in a 16-year spread myself, so I think it works. I think it works.
I'm like, no. It's one thing to be like in a Silver Fox 16-year spread. It's, I think, very different to be in a 43, 27-year-old spread. I'm sorry. It's different. It's going, that relationship is going absolutely nowhere. I'm going to say it right now. Even if they get married, I'm still telling you it's going nowhere.
Yeah, and Andy is 58. So if there's a 16-year spread, then that's still the guy's 42. So, yeah, that's pretty old. And also, the guy is not a fame whore, apparently. He's like a financial guy. So he's not in the same... You know,
yeah,
it's different when they're like reality people and influencers.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to last.
Model.
But not only, not because of her, because of him as well, in equal bards.
Also, when you get two people together who are just so well-spoken and intelligent, it's just hard for that to really work out. Just one person needs to shine. So I don't know. I don't think it's going to
work. Rough because it's a spread. We're doing spread between ages, but it's not really fair because Tom's 43 and his liver's like 96. So it's really hard to figure out how that factors into long-term plans.
Also, she works in high fashion and he's segueing into bowling shirts. Like that's the next evolution for Tom's style. So it just can't work out.
Bowling shirts and Elton John glasses. So I don't know. Time will tell. It's going to tell us something. So, guys, Tom, let's talk about it. It's being sold off. Can you believe it? He's like, yeah, well, we had an amazing pride. So thank you to everybody. Thanks to all the straight people who came. That was really fun. And, you know, Tom's for sale. All the intellectual rights. LOL.
I can't.
The intellectual rights to Tom.
Oh, good.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Excuse me, Ronnie, I have to call our agent so we can option Tom for that script we've been meaning to write.
I'm going to write a spinoff on Tom.
Honestly, if I were Tom Schwartz, I would be fucking pissed because Tom used to be like the jam. It was a active bar. It was part of like the whole, you know, Vanderpumpiverse and, but it was also like a legitimately good bar. I mean, yes, the stools were way too low, and I'm glad that was called out on the latest season of Vanderpump Rules, or maybe it was this season. It was this season of the Valley. I don't remember. It was this season of the Valley, actually, because Kiana came over. But it was like a legitimately really fun bar to go to, and truly Tom Sandoval just destroyed all the properties. He actually destroyed – I think he actually destroyed every single Vanderpump entity. Right, because it killed Schwartz and Sandy's with the Scandoval. Pump was next to go. Tom's gone. Sir is struggling too. I mean, WeHo, I guess, is apparently having issues, but like, you know, because obviously Vanderpump Rules kind of ended, and that ended Curiosity and Sir. So, I mean, Tom Sandoval really dropped a bomb on these businesses.
The great destroyer. Fucking pissed.
Yeah, I'd be pissed.
Don't come for my tiny penis.
That's the latest thing. So we talk about Tom. The intellectual rights really made me laugh. Like, Tom, the only right is to not have an intellect, you know? Like, so for them to be like, wow, the intellectual rights of Tom. Oh, the IP, the Instagram, everything. Yeah, good luck with that. So Andy asks, and he's like, but we've been open since 2018. That's a good run, right? You know, which that is crazy. That
it is a good run.
Years. And Andy says, you put $50,000. Did you ever get that back? And he's like, well, I mean, yeah, you know, I made my money back in 8 years. I would hope so.
$50,000
over the course of 8 years. God, were you just going in there for autographs? Like, They had to be making some, or he had to be making some money from there, right? Do you think it's just
I think he was. I think he was. But he was like, I still have a meager 2.5%, but symbolically, it's so much more than that to me. It's all the way up to 3%. And that place is an extension of my heart and my soul. I'm like, you mean decrepit, empty, and having to be sold off? That place isn't...
The only light is a colored Philip Hughes, Hughes bulb.
Does that mean that somewhere in your heart and soul, there is a disturbed DJ sitting on a pile of toilet paper spinning records? So he's like, I've had so many of my best moments of my life in there. And honestly, it helped me make me so much less of a pussy. I was like, okay, please let me know when that will be demonstrated for us.
Yeah, when's that season?
Zach, we saw you take big steps with your little boyfriend. What the hell?
Yeah, what was that about? I feel like, you know what, you could see as Andy read it off his cue cards, he had not read it ahead of time, and you could see, he was like, oh, okay, I guess that's what we're writing on here. He had that look on his face, like, I guess I just said that.
Okay, I just walked into that short person burn as a short person. Great. Felt great. Thanks, producers.
Such a random stray for Benji to catch. And Benji is the most normal person in this entire group.
Yeah, we've been like living on and off with each other, because even though I stay like living with them or living here, like going to Canada for work of time, and then he comes here, but like sometimes we'll go there, like sometimes we'll go out of town, but like sometimes we'll be on a road trip and we're like, where are we right now? What do we even need a visa for right now? Like, do you need that in Arkansas? I don't even know. Why are we even in Arkansas? I just pooped.
Is there any furniture yet? And a monster fridge does not count.
No. Basically,
the answer is no.
No, the answer is no. Right. We talk about Zach's shitty apartment, and then how he threw a party to thank Kristen for loaning him money, and then he gives a big monologue. He is really good at using a lot of words to say very, very. Very little, but just broken down. He's very thankful to have friends in LA.
Because I came here with nothing, and then I had friends, and then my friends gave me things. And it's my spray tan coming off, and it was beautiful. So I would like to thank my friends so much.
Yeah, I love Zach at the reunions because he just spends almost all the time in the corner just smirking and rolling his eyes at people. And it's just so funny. And then when they actually ask him a question, he always has a big dramatic monologue. It's like, it's really hard when you move here from Kentucky and you don't know anyone. And then like all of a sudden you walk into a store and you're like, I just want a coffee medium size. They say it's a grande. And I'm like, I don't understand. And then Kristen walks in and explains Starbucks language to me. It just like meant a lot to me. It meant a lot to understand Starbucks from Kristen.
My life changed the day that Kristen told me about a pop cup. So many dogs happy, Andy. To make so many dogs happy, I would just want to thank my friends.
So basically, the conversation is Benji wants kids. You don't want kids. Are you getting married? Like, what's happening? And the answer is still the same. He's basically like, I love him, but I don't want kids. And my parents were such good parents that I want to be parents like they were, really good parents. And I can't afford that lifestyle. Like, I can't afford kids. You guys have to break up at this point because they're both right to want what they want. You know, neither one of them's wrong and they're a cute couple, but yeah, this is a big one.
Yeah. I actually feel really bad in agreeing with that. I think Benji is adorable and what I like about Benji is he does have an edge, which I really love. And they're cute together, but they do want drastically different things. And like, I think they have to, with regrets, move on from each other. So then Andy is like, all right, well, welcome back. I'm someone who did figure out that I want to have kids. Sorry, Zach. Anyway, Lala, how is co-parenting with Randall going? And she's like, ugh, it's impossible. So we can't communicate unless it's through that app. And he primarily lives in Miami now. So he pops in when he wants to see ocean. She thinks he's just like wonderful and amazing. And that's all I could ask for. And so I would just say it's going great because she's thriving. Plus every other week he sends a fried chicken breast her way. So that's lovely as well.
I'm like, one day when you're over 12, he'll start sending you doubles. Because he, you know, he loves a double chicken breast.
He loves that.
So, a double fried chicken breast.
Double fried chicken sandwich.
Yeah, he still sucks, basically. So then we move on to Kristen and Luke, which, yikes, this was worse than I thought. Because Kristen, you know, has come to this reunion being very much like,
the audience is really mad at Danny, so I have to admonish Danny, and I'm going to do it because I don't want the internet to hate me again. So she's really trying on her whole season with Luke. We need to handle shit off camera, just like Danny and Nia, and be that kind of a couple.
Girl, you see all my nieces and my sister leaving behind me. Ma, trudging down the stairs. Girl. Bye, girls. Okay.
There they go.
Have fun. They're going to the Beechwood Cafe because Harry has a song about it. That Harry Styles. He's given that Beechwood Cafe so much business, that man. They're just little girls lined up like, yes, Harry eats here. Harry loves the eggs, Benny.
You know what's so funny is that I was literally in Beechwood Canyon yesterday and I had parked like a block away from that cafe. And I thought to myself, are people still like flocking to this cafe or is that moment ended? And now I have the answer.
It's busy all the time. We go every time they're here. And my dad hasn't gone with him yet. He just got in town. So he's going. They're all going. And then we're all going to Disneyland.
Wow.
Everyone grieves. Yeah. So, it's like,
sounds great.
Fuck. No. So wish me luck.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Okay. So, anyway, the point is, Kristen has come here very much like, we're going to look good. We're not going to get in fights. We're going to look like a good, strong couple, and I'm going to do everything right. And man, Luke just blows it out of the water in the first 2 seconds. God, Luke is terrible. What are you doing with
He's
Luke?
He's awful. Also,
oh, Luke sucks.
Before we even get into the Luke of it all, or I should say before we get into the things that he says, we also have to talk about just the way he manspreads right there on that sofa. I mean, he took up practically 2 seats. Those knees were like, that was at like 9 p.m., 3 p.m., okay? Like, it was just, they were just fully just out and just taking up space. And I was like, oh, God, this guy sucks. He sucks. Yeah.
There's a new documentary from the Lion King guys. It's like, God's Tiger Monsters. What'd I say?
Lion King.
Oh, sorry, Rob. It's like, I got a new musical. This one's about lizards. Rob Minkoff. No, this is, you're right. The Tiger King people. I think it's called God's Monsters or something. And I heard, oh, it's crazy. You guys need to check it out and talk about it. So I just looked at the preview of it. And one of the guys in it who's being interviewed, they're interviewing him from below, like probably his ankles. I don't know why the camera is so low. And he's manspreading and he's an older guy. And it's just old man balls. That's all you see. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is going to take up the whole movie? Is old man nuts right in my face? I'm not watching it. You guys, leave the camera up.
That Tiger King director, I'm sorry, I'm over it. Like, we watched Chimp Crazy, which, you know, was interesting and amusing, but like, I got so annoyed that like they spent so much time just with the director, and like the director is this where there was like scenes dedicated to the director speaking to like other directors about like, how involved should I be or something like that? I don't know. He just like centers himself so much that I'm like, we're not doing this anymore. I can't watch it anymore.
Oh, well, I loved Jim Crazy. Oh, my God.
I got a fucking monkey. I don't know what the people are talking about.
I loved her. I still have her. I still send her sticker to people that I made years ago. When
she was great to watch.
All her laser work saying, done. Oh,
he was just insufferable, and he just kept on inserting himself in. And, like, it probably could have been a 3-episode, tight, amazing documentary. But for me, it was like constant scenes of just him. I'm like, why are you in this so much?
I think that's a valid criticism of that show for sure. And I would watch this one. It's just the big old man nuts in my face. I just don't need it, you know? And the point is, Luke, close your legs, married men. Okay. Just cut out a little bit of Nini's line, but it still
close
works.
Close your legs, comma.
So then they're talking about their sex life. They are having more, still probably not a ton. And Andy was like, well, him pressuring you for sex, that really came off selfish on your part, Luke. And he's like, yeah, I see that. But like, that's exactly how it read on TV. No, it's not how it read. Okay. It was not an edit you were a cock. So you just need to say that. But he won't.
Yeah.
It's all someone else's fault. He's like, yeah, that's how it read. And I genuinely thought Kristen would agree. Like, I didn't start going for it when the doctor said 6 weeks, you're good. And so I thought it was a proper buffer, 6 weeks, you know? I guess I wasn't the best version of myself.
It's, you don't have like, this is not like a ticket you've purchased for a flight that's going to be happening in November. Whether it's 6 weeks, whether it's 8 weeks, it's not like, well, I gave it 2 extra weeks. And, the ETA is that the flight is tomorrow. So, tomorrow we start having sex again. And I'm going to ask you every day for sex multiple times. It's like, no, it's just, you just listen to the other person and their needs. And then of course, Danny chimes. He's like, whoever came up with that 6 week rule should just be fired. Right. Cause it's so unrealistic. But for a man, you know, like you think, all right, like 6 weeks, you gotta hold out, but it's okay. 6 weeks. And then it's like back on the clock, ladies. But like, they don't like that at all. Am I right, guys? Am I right? Anyone? Laugh at my jokes.
It's just so unrealistic, you know. But for a man, you think like, all right, 6 weeks, and I gotta just hold out, and then I'm swimming forth. They're gonna be swimming forth.
And Andy's like, so a lot of female viewers were coming after Luke for expecting sex from you so soon, Kristen. What was your reaction to the criticism?
She's like, I mean, like, it's hard because, like, I'm allowed to come after him, but, like, I don't want other people to. And, you know, I did explain to him. I was like, these are moms. These are pregnant women. These are mariposas going through, like, they've gone through things. So they're going to be pissed, okay? It's maternal passion. Go, go. And then it almost made me, like, take his side a little bit more because, you know, I was coming out of tough.
She starts doing these excuses for him. Like, I was coming out of really tough postpartum and, you know, remembering that he was new at this too. And she keeps trying to smooth it over for Luke. But then
yeah.
He just keeps making it worse every time he opens his mouth. So why even bother at this point?
Yeah. Andy asks Nia how soon after they had kids was she able to go back to having sex, and she's like,
well, it's different after every pregnancy, so I feel like that's also something to take into account, and it could be totally different next time for you guys too. But after Asher, I was like, I was torn a little bit, and it was more like 6 months until I was comfortable, and we tried, but it wasn't working. And you know, then we had twins, and I don't know, it's just been like a slow ride. It's like, okay, cool. So Kristen, Luke expressed that he wasn't able to take time for himself, and then when he did do that, you guilted him for it. So what's your take on it?
She's like, well, I know there are a couple of specific instances he's referring to, like going fishing one day, and I was like, yeah, absolutely. But then he has to come home and like do all this other stuff and finish up the day, and essentially where I'm thinking like, okay, now you're home. Now I need you. And then he mutters under his breath something like, gotta go home and deal with the crazy. It's like, bro, like the way he's so dismissive and condescending about like her postpartum mental health struggles, it's just, it's awful. And, you know, again, it's not like Kristen is a handful regardless. Okay. So it's not like, oh, everyone automatically gets like a pass. But he is just, I hate the way he treats her. Like, oh, she's cuckoo caca now. Like,
I hate it too. And she's saying, and we know what she's saying because she said it a million times. It's not that he goes out. It's that he goes out and he gets shit-faced and then he comes back and he's useless. And then he goes to sleep and then he doesn't help with anything. So it's not him just going out for a couple hours. It's him being completely out of service and not helping for days. Well, he like lies around and she has to take care of him and the baby, and it's frustrating. And then he's like, oh, God forbid I ever go out and do anything. Like, it's not new for me too.
I know.
It's new to you too, but you're not like attached to the baby. The baby is not attached to you needing things. Your body didn't change. You're just some fucking guy living off the fat of the land.
That's right. So Kristen's like, and he asks, why is Luke sleeping on the couch such a trigger? Which is hilarious because like, how could it not be? Like the person that you're supposed to get engaged, that you're supposed to get married to, doesn't even want to sleep in the same bed with you. And so she's like, well, we've had times where we weren't doing well, or times when he was like drinking and I was pregnant and I couldn't partake in anything. And it was like late nights, and like, whether it's because he didn't want to wake me up or whatever, but I still want you in bed with me. And I'm very clingy, like I'm needy right now, but I wasn't expressing it that way. And I was just super defensive. And what I learned later too, is that like there was a lot of postpartum depression and rage is something that I was not familiar with. And he's like, you weren't familiar with rage? Mm-hmm. Well, postpartum rage, it's a different type of rage.
It's different, but again, she's postpartum rage, Andy.
She shouldn't have to throw herself on the sword for this one. I understand she's trying to take accountability and say, you know, she's trying to sort of be evolved and say, look, it takes two people to contribute to attention in a situation. But like, I think it's reasonable to say, hey, I want you to be in bed with me. It makes me feel a certain sort of way. I feel rejected or whatever. And I'm really insecure right now. And like, you're not going to bother me. Just get into, like, just be in bed with me. And I feel like she has said that. I feel like we have seen her say that it bothers her that he winds up on the sofa. We saw her say that to him, and then he still went out and got drunk and wound up on the sofa. And it's like the easiest thing to fulfill is just to go the extra 5 feet over to the bed.
Well, it's not easy because it's avoidance. He's avoiding it. He doesn't want to be in there because then he's at Kristen's beck and call in his mind, and she can say, go get the baby. Or if the baby cries, he can pretend he didn't hear it. You know, it's pure avoidance, and she knows it, and she's falling all over herself, making excuses for him, which is not great because that's usually signs of something much worse, right? When you see people like, no, they're great. You know, you see Nia doing it, and it's just horrible to watch all these couples going through the same thing. But there's another element to it with Kristen, because like she just said, it's one thing for her to be pissed at her husband when you have the whole country like, your husband sucks, fucking leave that guy, it makes her life a lot harder too, because she can't just be, you know, it's like you've got all these people saying how much your husband sucks. So now she's coming and trying to smooth it over and being like, look, America, he's nice. It's me. I'm sure I'm crazy Kristen. I have problems. We all know that I have rage and no. But sorry, babe, this is not it. And I know that you had a baby with this guy, and you're never supposed to tell somebody who's had a baby with somebody to leave. You need to leave this man. You're going to leave this man anyway. So,
yes. Start a commune with Lala, and you guys can both raise each other, like all the kids together. But Luke is like,
this is 100% not going to last. So it may as well end sooner than later. It's going to get harder later.
Don't forget, like, during the season when he said something along the lines of, like, what? I only got wasted once over the last 2 weeks, which is so wild. So then he says, well, he's like, well, once in the last month or something like that. Like, you know, literally, like, you know, if she goes to bed early and I'm watching a movie, sometimes I fall asleep on the couch, and it wasn't a spiteful thing to sleep on the couch. It's okay to fall asleep on the couch by accident, but then you inevitably wake up and you move into the bedroom. Like it's crazy to think that he just spent the entire night on the couch, and that's the implication
he's
that they're saying.
Avoiding every part of being a father is what he's doing. It's not about your fucking movies, dude. So then Kristen says it makes her, you know, more lonely, and he says it makes her more lonely. No, he's talking about himself, of course. So he's like, yeah, you know, like, I was continuing to give up things I traditionally was going to for years, like the fishing trip with my dad I do annually, or the golf trip with my brother and these things. And it's like, she didn't make me give up those things. I just thought it would make things better for our relationship by not doing those things. And ultimately, it made me feel more lonely and more estranged. God,
but then
really,
whose fault is that?
It's crazy. Having a newborn baby might make you change your plans one time in the first year. You selfish fuck. What do you think you deserve a gold medal for not going on a golf trip once?
I know. Well, didn't he say here that this was happening even before the baby came around? Like, he was doing this because he felt like this was the right thing to do. I mean, that's on you. That's really on you. But either way, it's like, even if it is just like, I had to sacrifice going on a golf trip because I have a newborn. It's like, yes, that's exactly right. And you will deal with it. The golf trip, you'll have other golf trips. And if there are not other golf trips, then you've had plenty of really good ones.
Yeah, he's resentful because he gave up a couple of trips, and it didn't make things better in their relationship. Because you're still an asshole when you're home. What are you not getting? So then Andy asks about couples therapy, and he's like, it's on and off. And she goes, well, as someone who's like a big therapy advocate, like me, Kristen, everybody knows I love therapy. Well, you know, it's really hard because like when you're so combative, the therapist is like, don't come here until you guys are better. So that's how therapy works. So
We'll go to therapy when we're ready. And they're all, even Jack just looks straight at the camera like, what? And Andy goes, I've never heard that you wait until you're fighting less and less volatile to go to therapy. She's like, yep, that's how it works.
It means one of two things. Either the therapist was like, they're a lost cause and I don't know how to tell them this, so I'll just tell them that they can't come to therapy anymore because they have to do other therapy first. Or what I really suspect what it is that she is open to therapy and he is not open to therapy. And so he is not being open to the process and he is not sharing and he's not taking anything in and he's not listening to what the therapist is saying. So there's no point in going to therapy until he is mentally receptive to it and they're not there yet. I think that's actually reading between the lines what she's really saying here.
We don't even have to read into that much because we saw in the season they went to therapy and the second that he was called out on something, he was like, I don't want to go back there. I didn't like her. She's like judgmental of me. So that was why he won't go to therapy. He doesn't want someone to, he feels like the women were teaming up on him.
And then the big question that Andy has is, well, if you would have waited until after the pregnancy, do you think you still would have proposed? And he's like, that's a hard thing to try to make up my mind. Everyone's like, bro, just say yes. And Michelle's like, that's not good. Like, say yes. Come on, just say yes. Say yes. Say yes. It's like, I don't know. The last 2 years feel kind of like a blur. I don't know. Would I still want to spend the rest of my life with this crazy demon woman? I don't know. Like, say yes, bro.
Oh, God. So embarrassing for Kristen, this guy. And he's like, well, I wouldn't break up with her. And Jasmine's like, oh, my God, look at Kristen's face. And Kristen looks like she wants to cry but also murder him. It's like, we practiced this in the whole on the whole plane right here, you idiot. So he asked Kristen, her reaction. And she's like, well, obviously it's not super fun to hear, but I want him to be honest. And he's honest.
I know that she's putting a good spin on it, but yeah, my heart breaks for her on this one. This is a guy who is not emotionally mature enough to be in a wedding, in a marriage. Like, she is hitching her wagon to a donkey that's going to drown in the river. Okay. Like, this is no good. Like, the answer is an unequivocal yes. Well, unhesitant yes. I'm sorry. Yes. That's what a show is.
Even if you're lying and faking it, like, yes, like fake it till you make it or something, you know, but this whole like, yeah, he's being so honest and that's really all I want. He honestly doesn't like you and you should not be with this person. You're lucky in a way that he's being honest, but you should not be in this situation. He's staying here for the television show. Yeah. Period. In my mind, there's no other reason. This guy is terrible. I just honestly, yeah,
I'd just rather him be honest. Ugh.
Yeah, so then Andy goes, Luke, you told Jesse and Danny this season that if things continue this way they are with Kristen, there won't be a wedding. So what is the status of the wedding right now? He's like, well, things have not continued the way that they were. Things have improved. I'm just asking if you still want to marry me. Well, I'm not breaking off the engagement. I think it's a slow burn right now. I'm like, oh, no, don't say I'm not breaking off the engagement. So he's entry level commitment into this situation at this point. Like, it's just so insulting.
He's holding it over her head like a carrot stick. He's dangling it like, oh, look, you could marry me if you behave. It's just gross. Get rid of him. She said when she started with him on the show, like, well, you know, I don't know if he's the right one forever, but it's the time that I need to have a baby. If I'm going to have a baby, I need to do it now. And he would be a good partner to have a baby with. So I'm just going to have a baby with him. And if it works out, it works out, you know. And now I think it's clear that the guy you fucked behind the tent at the wedding, it's not the guy. We all know any of us who have fucked a guy behind the tent at a wedding. No, that's generally not the person you're going to marry, you know?
Yeah. Also, and he's like knows 11 or 12 years younger. Make it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, he's not mature enough for this. So Andy asks if they want to have another baby. And she says she doesn't know what her chances are fertility wise. And they would like, do they go to the same doctor? But what if we like, we would want to go to the same doctor, but like, what if we don't live here by the time that happens? So then what about it? Do we have to go to see a different fertility doctor? So Andy's like, whoa. If you don't live here, does that mean you might go to Colorado? She's like, oh no, God, no, not Colorado. Ew, disgusting. And Luke, he gets this nasty look on his face. He does that sort of like passive aggressive laugh. He's like, that's an aggressive way to respond to Colorado, only the best state in America. Quite frankly, there shouldn't be any other state. It should just all be Colorado, United State of Colorado. Thank you very much.
One day it's going to be its own country.
So.
Judge not. Sorry, I forgot the saying. And Kristen's like, well, I love the ranch. I mean, it's amazing, but we're not going to live there. I mean, it's in the middle of nowhere. And this really pisses him off. And anyone who's watched this show for so long knows why, because that has been his plan the whole time, is to move to his ranch in Colorado. And Kristen has kind of resisted it, but kind of said, okay, at some point when we're done with LA, we're going to go back and live his dream life in Colorado. So now she's like, hell no, we're not going back there. And he's pissed. This couple should not be together. Break up.
Well, also, the way he shits on LA all the time, and that all the time, which is fine. I think, you know, LA is always a great city to dunk on. I mean, even us, I love LA, but even here, it's fun to dunk on LA. But then the moment she says something about Colorado, he is so bothered. And he said so many things that are so much more insulting to her about her. And then she says something about his state, and he is pissed. And you can see he's really pissed. You know that they had an argument later on about it, too. This guy sucks.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations, you've reached the end of part one of a two-part recap. For part two, go look for the recap that says part two. See you over there, suckers.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
It's no BS. We love Hugo E.S.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our palliger. It's Karen Gallagher.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Come again? We're obsessed with Margaret O'Halloran.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She's the lady of the house. It's Rachel Sharouse.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy. It's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP. It's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher. It's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish. It's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
She's our princess, it's Rebecca Prince.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.